Why don't we quickly, because I want to go around the table, because I know that a couple of people might have to leave at the top of the hour because there's dinner on. Jerry, you've, and as I mentioned before, if you haven't already, go to Twitter. Go to Twitter and you'll follow the hashtag PSA World. And I think most of the tweets, no, came from Jerry. You were active
myself,
anyway.
Ryan as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what was your take on the mood and what was tweet worthy and?
Well, it's hard to just pull out something what was tweet worthy when you're doing a whole bunch. I tend to agree that for this crowd, they were struck by those things that literally took them out of their seats. Mm-hmm. I actually go to a fair amount of things where it's not unusual. So I wasn't shocked or surprised, but I could read that on people, and they're like, and you're asking me to stand again?
Yeah.
Where's the prize? Mm-hmm. But I think that they understood that the point was, in the case of Edmé, who actually said to me last night that she's not a morning person, that's funny that you should say that, that it was about recognizing how much the body can have an impact in speech writing, and it's often because we are literally all in our heads, how it's completely forgotten.
Yeah.
So it was a really good physical reminder of literally.
But it's a tremendously cerebral group, and I had like four people in mind. I was thinking, John Barnes does not want to be standing up right now and closing his eyes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A few other ones. So.
And I think, you know, bearing in mind that this was so much material, I actually tried to take images when possible, mm-hmm. and I tried to sort of break things down because, you know, it's very true to me that if you get 60 different things, that, okay, the best that you can try and do is try and absorb five or six that actually seem worthwhile for you personally. So that's what I tried to both capture myself, curate from others, and then encourage people by retweeting them to show that, you know, I'm hearing you, I'm seeing you, and you're part of this group. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of the psychological element of wanting people, you know, to feel as though that there is a channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised, actually, because people didn't... I've been in other conferences where people have used it as an opportunity to actually ask a question, even at a small conference like this, mm-hmm. where they, for whatever reason, they don't want to have their face associated with mm-hmm. their statement, even though a little research would, you know, solve that. But I guess people did feel in this environment that they could raise their hands. Mm-hmm. But for example, one thing which I sort of jumped off in the breakout session, the first of the two on Know Your Worth, specifically, this was in theory about for people who are in-house. One of the three presenters, Harry, used Julie of Haman as a recruiter, or she came to him, and it began the discussion, which is embedded in Know Your Worth, in what are people paid? Mm. And so, you know, I tweeted, should we actually have a survey? Because one thing that was in the back of my mind is that the day after, and bear with me, this is a short digression, the day after Joel Abramson was fired, BuzzFeed put together and turned around in one day a salary survey in the journalism profession.
Yeah, yeah.
So it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and a lot of the people in the room said, in fact, one had gone to one of Joan Detz's things, and she just said, take a strip of paper and write your salary and put it in a hat. Mm. And people, you know, got a sense, and people were shocked. In some cases, this woman said how little she was paid, mm-hmm. and she used the conference in that session to get the hugest raise of her life. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that that's an immediate, tangible benefit of why you go,
yeah.
because you are either validated or you're not validated, but it puts you on the road, you yeah. know, to course correct.
Yeah, and there was a very interesting discussion at the Parallel breakout
yeah.
with Dan
yeah.
Gerstein,
yeah.
who was talking about freelance, Know Your Worth, the freelance speechwriters. Win Clients and Influence Paydays, like the title says, which was a lot about, Colin on the phone here will recognize the conference, the calls we've had with himself and Pete Wiseman and myself for many couple of years now about, you know, sharing information within the bounds of the law where you can't set, you know...
Right, collusion.
Collusion.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
There was an open discussion about freelance rates. Before we move on, though, I did want to introduce, there's one more person at the table who hasn't said anything yet, just so people on the phone know who's here, and that's Kathy Gray, who's from the West Coast, from Silicon Valley, so, you know, is one of the members, if you like, of the organizations hosting this, the Silicon Valley speechwriters. And Kathy, you work for Duarte, right?
Yes. Duarte is an agency that does presentations. You might have heard of Nancy Duarte.
Yeah, we've had her on the call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I know Nancy, and she's great. She's written Slideology and Resonate. And what do you do there? You're a content creator?
Content developer.
Yeah, yeah. And is this... Have you been to the Reagan conference before?
I haven't yet. People on my team have.
Yeah, so is this your first ever speechwriters conference?
Yes. It's been awesome. It's been a whirlwind. I feel like the morning was the mechanics kind of getting us warmed up because we had the calisthenics, or what you want to call it. And Mette's presentation was really cool. I liked how she used a lot of mixed media. She used the slides and the trumpet, and she was just kind of adorable, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then we moved more into the content and got pretty academic, which was pretty cool. I mean, we talked about Socrates, we talked about Aristotle. So it's definitely both historical and current state of the field, and also intellectual but practical. So it's really running the gamut, which is cool. Mm-hmm. One thought I had was that it's really a cross-section, politically and, role-wise. I think of Mike Long's discussion about civility. And I feel like everyone is kind of respectful, and they're quoting speeches across party lines and across disciplines, and I think that's really cool. I appreciated that.
Good. Okay. I did want to, though, pass it back to David, because I think you have to probably leave in the next 10 or 15 minutes. We talked in general about this type of event and compared to the ones in Britain, but I mean, I have to ask you, because it was a little surprising to me with the opening keynote by Edmé, what was going through your mind in giving us left brain, right brain, or whatever, but a non-speechwriter. I mean, she had us standing up. She's a lady who was a ballerina and is now a speaker delivery coach.
The thing that I had in mind ultimately with that session and that I have in mind with the association is that, you know, it's easy to find tips on speech writing. You can find books on speech writing. You can go on the internet and read Ian's blog as Foley. There's tons of ideas on the blocking, tackling basics of speech writing. And there's people here already know a lot of those things, if not most of them, because they've been writing speeches for 10 years or more. What I think the reason people come to conferences in person is to connect in a human way, and in an emotional way as much as in an intellectual way. And yes, there are practical reasons and salary surveys and everything else. But the reason they come in person is to be together physically and look each other in the eye and say, "Yeah, I hate it when that happens with my boss," or and the other person says, "Yeah, I've been there." And so, to me, to have somebody talking about on a holistic basis about connecting the speechwriters with their own humanity and who they are, to me that wasn't even a stretch. And so I think that we're gonna have more sessions like that, and I think if people are gonna come back year after year, it's gonna be a place where people feel safe, where people feel they can bring their whole selves, where people's personalities come out, they make real friends. That's why we're having some liquor later tonight. That's why people come back to conferences year after year. Right. And so that's my thinking.
And just to give people a flavor, because this to me kind of bookended the day, was the beginning we had what you could call almost an experimental presentation where, in fact, her and both Mette from Denmark were both, arts major, so to speak. They were taking a whole body approach, and at the end we kind of got, I've never been in the room with a guy as important as that, honestly, in my life.
General David Petraeus was our closing conversation. I interviewed him, but it was kind of more of a speech. I didn't have that many questions I had to ask.
He was very articulate.
Yeah, and he talked about his assignment early in his career as a speechwriter. He talked about...
He'd been a speechwriter.
Yeah. He had an
for
assignment.
A general who ran the whole of Europe.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Galvin.
And he had some ideas about how to about how to be a speechwriter and how demanding you have to be of your boss. Yeah. He demanded his boss
push-ups,
he demanded that his boss that he get to go to every speech, and that he before he would agree to work for him, and that he be in the car on the way to every speech because he wanted to be able to get the boss fired up and distracted from the boss's problems, which really struck me as an insight. You know, he said, this guy's got the care of the world on his shoulders, and he's going to this event to give a speech, and I want to get him to concentrate and focus on the speech.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to be in the car with him to do that. And I thought, yeah, that's right. And we complain that our speakers won't rehearse our speeches.
Right.
But we should know what else they're worried about and what else
to put it in perspective, it was amusing or enlightening to realize this is a guy who later in his career, when he was a four-star general, routinely faced down the Joint Chiefs of Staff on conference call. I mean, he was telling us this stuff. So I'd be on the conference call with George H.W. Bush or President Bush, and you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs would be there, and I wouldn't tell him what I was going to say. I mean, I wasn't going to give him that. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
really? Okay.
It was fascinating to listen to him. He was funny. He was animated, and it was cool to have him here.